just after Jesus was baptized, as Luke recounts the story, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and was led by that same Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew starts his account in basically the same way, but Mark notes that Jesus was immediately driven into the wilderness. Mark's version of the stories shared by all three of these synoptic gospels tends to portray a sense of immediacy, even urgency. Luke and Matthew have a slightly different take, and in the telling of the temptation of Christ, the movement from the wilderness is not quite as immediate. Jesus is led, not driven. And being led gives a sense of one who, at least on some level, is compliant. When Jesus arrives in this wilderness, he is met by the devil, the tempter, Satan. And for 40 days, 40 being an important number, one that indicates a long time, Jesus fasts and is tempted by this ultimate adversary. In hearing 40 days, we're reminded of the 40 days that Moses spent on the mountain and the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the desert themselves. Not unlike the story of the Transfiguration that we heard just last week, we're reminded that this is a continuation of something that has been going on all along. This story did not just happen in a vacuum. This Jesus did not arrive with no history, and history can be traced back to the people of Israel, the Jews. After all, Jesus was a Jew, and his history is the history of his people. And we hear the word temptation, and we think of the original temptation, the temptation of Adam and Eve. Remember the garden, where everything was good and everything was in order, in the order in which God had planned it? Remember that tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God said that Adam and Eve should leave alone? Remember that first tempter, the one that came to Eve as a serpent and tempted her with knowledge, the knowledge of what it would be to be like God? He said, "Why not eat of that tree?" And Eve said, "Because God said that if we do, we will die." And the serpent, who was more crafty than any of the other wild animals that the Lord had made, said to her, "Not so. You will not die. God told you that because he knew that if you ate of it, your eyes would be open and you would be like God, knowing good and evil." And that was it. Eve believed what the tempter said. She trusted the tempter more than she trusted God. And the world as she knew it was changed from that moment on. She wasn't immediately struck dead like Uzzah was when he touched the Ark of the Covenant, but her world in the perfect garden died in that moment. Her past life was dead, and her relationship with God was changed forever. We know what it's like to be tempted. In this season of Lent, we're perhaps more aware of the threat of temptation than any other time in the year. One little Snickers bar won't hurt. I gave up sweets, but what harm is there in one cookie? It's not that sweet after all, it's oatmeal. It's healthy. I'm running so late. I don't have time to stop and read my devotion today. I'll make up for it later. We've probably faced more serious temptations than even these. Remember that time when you were a kid and your friend tempted you to lie to your mom about where you had really been? Or urged you to stick that pack of gum in your pocket when the store clerk wasn't watching? Temptations loom all the time. Temptations like breaking your Lenten discipline or lying or even stealing are fairly easy to pick out. They're easy to recognize. It's the under-the-table temptations that can sneak up on us and cause us the most trouble in the long run. Those sort of temptations most often involve not doing something that we should rather than doing something that we shouldn't. Avoiding addressing injustice is a serious temptation. There seems to be such a cost to becoming involved, and the issue seems so large and insurmountable. The temptation is to make excuses for why some people deserve their dire situations. Prisons are seriously overcrowded. But if those people didn't commit those crimes, we wouldn't have that problem. People are losing their jobs, can't find jobs. The economy is still a mess. But if those people hadn't been so greedy, none of this would have happened. Our culture is in the gutter. Television shows are smut. Movies are full of sex and violence. But if those people didn't watch that trash, then it wouldn't sell. Wait a minute. Aren't we those people? Any problem that exists in our world exists because of us. If for no other reason than our lack of action to try and rectify the problem. Avoidance and blame are huge and sneaky temptations. Not wanting to involve ourselves in the messiness of our world is the biggest, one of the biggest of all. Jesus, after his baptism, was led into the wilderness and was tempted by Satan. Jesus had just been submerged in the waters in which everyone else's sins and wrongdoings had been left. Jesus, who had just been named as the beloved, the Son of God, came up out of those filthy, dirty, murky, sin-filled waters, totally covered with the worst of humanity, and followed the Spirit into the wilderness, a place known for its trials of the human soul. He went into this place and encountered the ultimate tempter, who tempted him with three temptations that could haunt us all. Jesus, we hear, was famished. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was totally empty. And Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, if what is said about you is true, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Show me who you are. If you are who you claim to be, show me. Show off. Test God." Jesus returns to the barb by quoting scripture right back at Satan and saying, "One does not live by bread alone." Jesus remains faithful. He trusts God to take care of him to make good on God's promises. Then Satan tries again. He took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and told Jesus that they were under his control, that Satan would give their glory and authority if Jesus would just worship him. Glory and authority. Imagine how that might work in our world right now. Finally, at least for now, Satan takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest of high points, and says again to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this pinnacle, because Scripture says that angels will protect you." And Jesus reminds him that one is not to put God to the test. Trust God. Do not test God. Believe that God will come through on what God promises, not just for Jesus, but for us all. In that original encounter with the serpent, the tempter, Eve didn't trust God. She trusted the serpent. She believed what he said, and she was misled. Adam, too, went against what God had commanded, and life as he knew it was changed forever, so much so that he tried to hide from God. But there's no hiding from God, as we all well know. And it's easy for us to say, "Well, Jesus, it's Jesus, he's different. He was God incarnate after all." And when we do that, again, we're avoiding the truth and making excuses. Jesus is fully divine and fully human. He was tested in every way as we are, but he didn't succumb. The good news is that Jesus knows about being tempted and tested. He knows how hard it is to avoid temptation. He knows what we struggle with on a daily basis. And he loves us just the same. And I would like to be able to stand here and say to you, "Just say no." Or that temptation goes away with age or practice or spiritual growth. But that would be succumbing to the temptation of preaching shallow hope. We hear much too frequently of spiritual leaders who fall into the trap of any number of temptations And our temptation may be to write them off as charlatans. My hunch is that at some point they were not. They were merely human beings who forgot to put their trust in God and trusted in themselves instead. Jesus was tempted in every way. So why do we think that we should be spared? Temptation remains. It's always with us, sometimes in our face and sometimes lurking in the deep recesses of our souls. But just because it's there doesn't mean we have to fall prey. Use Jesus' example. Trust God. God, who gives us every good gift, will provide everything we need to meet every temptation. We must rely and trust on God more than we rely and trust on ourselves. Amen.